You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Talk about changing the world. Our guest today has certainly done that many times over. I should say millions and millions of times over. As a matter of fact, our guest, his name is not only a household name. I would say his name is in every household, or almost every household, from houses, everyday houses, to the White House, to celebrity homes, to governor mansions and all of that. He's been dubbed the Czar of Christmas Present by the New York Times. And also, he's also been called the Ralph Lauren of holiday home decor. His designs, his products are all over the place. Without further ado, he is Christopher Radko, and we have Christopher Radko himself online with us here for the show, and we're really excited about that. He's been on Oprah. He's obviously been on in the New York Times. He's got his own articles that he posts on the Huffington Post and on USA Today. The list goes on and on and on, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to stop there. It's amazing to me how one man can make such a difference on something that one would think, oh yeah, well, Christmas, how can anybody make a dent in Christmas? There's already Santa Claus and there's already, you know, the baby Jesus. Well, there's Christopher Radko, and he's been making more than a dent in Christmas. As a matter of fact, he's been spreading Christmas cheer throughout the world since he started these designs. And so what I've come to learn about Christopher is that it's not just about the ornaments. It's something that he has inside that he's sharing with the world. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's his spirit. It's his heart. As a matter of fact, I think I read somewhere or heard him on Oprah say that, yes, it was on Oprah, that around the world, he doesn't visit every home around the world, but in every home where his products are, there's a little bit of his heart. So we have hopefully a little bit of his heart here today on Life Changes with Filippo and Friends, with our friend Christopher Radko, right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
That is Filippo, or this is Filippo, and this is Life Changes with Filippo and Friends. And today we are talking about something that's very special and very near and dear to so many people's hearts, especially mine, although it hasn't always been. You know, it's interesting. I contacted Christopher actually soon after the holidays for the first time. I just figured during the holidays he would be so busy going to every house, delivering ornaments or something, along with Santa Claus, yeah. And so I figured he'd be too busy to talk to anybody. But so after the holidays, I contacted him and I said, you know, we would love to have you on the show. And he wrote back, okay, great. And I, you know, and I said, you know, next holidays. And he said, anytime. And I thought, anytime. That's kind of interesting since he's a holiday guy. And then I remembered it was around this time, many years ago, that I was thinking how people celebrate Christmas one day of the year. And I should probably say like maybe 1 hour of the year, really, because they're rushing around the hustle and bustle, and some that's fun for some people, I guess, and buying gifts and meaningful and meaningless ones and spending money they don't have, some people, and all, you know, using all these resources to wrap up gifts and all. And I started to get this, you know, and then there's this 1 hour where people open gifts and, oh, thank you, hugs and kisses and whatever. And hopefully it's a little more than that for some. But for some, it's like, okay, I got to go. There's this I got to do and whatever, and that's it. And I thought, you know, 1 hour a year. What if we celebrated Christmas more often? And so I tried to encourage that amongst my Christmas card mailing list 1 year. And I mailed out Christmas cards to everybody on my mailing list, only I did it in August. Well, you would think I sent out hate mail to all my friends at the time. How many people called or said, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Somebody said, oh God, you know, don't make me think of Christmas. It's still months away. God, you scared me. I had a heart attack. And nobody got it. Of the friends that I had at the time, nobody got it. Except one person. Louise Hay was on my mailing list. And she, she totally got it. And she wrote back and she said, Filippo, I love it. Thank you for spreading Christmas cheer in August. That's great, blah, blah, blah. And I wrote to her and I said, Louise, you're the only one that got it. I feel like Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, and nobody wants to let me play their reindeer games. And Louise wrote back, and I'll never forget this. Louise wrote back. This is when we all wrote by hand before computers or emails. She wrote back, she said, well, remember, Rudolph, that Rudolph saved Christmas.
And in August.
In August, right. Well, and so a guy who saved Christmas, I think how appropriate to also have him in August. And only a couple people on my Facebook have gotten it. The other ones, I think, have kind of stayed away because it's like, oh, my God, they're talking about Christmas in August. But I can't think of anything better.
Now I get it as well, because I had a few moments you? With myself when we went into the pre-show call.
What am I going to do with you?
And you're going to listen for just a
second. I'm sorry. Okay.
you know me and holidays. I for the same reason, I've really kind of become, much to my mother's dismay, quite disconnected from the idea of holiday.
Yeah.
And trying to live more for each day as a holiday and being more grateful in each moment.
Yeah.
And less apt to be controlled, inspired, motivated, guilted by, you know, programming, social programming of commercials and material, you know, goods and some of the learning that I got from it didn't matter what my family did to give me the most wonderful things that they could give me as I was growing up. It was never as good as my cousins. I'll never forget that.
Interesting.
So I'd get a new pair of boots and they'd have a better pair of boots. You know, there's always that kind of stuff. And so how many kids, you know, don't have either, but are subject to that type of a materially competitive environment. So this whole idea of getting back to the spirit of Christmas, well, it's interesting because ask any of those people that sent you that feedback or that hate mail, what is the spirit of Christmas?
Yeah, right.
Because the truth that you got, I believe, is their real definition of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into how am I supposed to act for the next month and a half while we have, you know, our lunches and dinners and gatherings.
And that we have to go to.
We have to go
yeah, to do the right thing. Right.
And food, drinks, eggnog anyway.
And so this is interesting because in talking to Christopher, he shed some new light for me on holidays, even better than the light I had on it already or started to have. So I'm glad he's on the show so he could shed that light for all of us. So for over 25 years, Christopher handcrafted holiday ornaments and decor that have graced the homes of royalty, Hollywood celebrities, and families world over. Chris has been on Today and on Oprah and has been featured in People, Time, Biography, Better Homes and Gardens, to name just a few. He's been called the Ralph Lauren of holiday home decor. The New York Times has called him the czar of Christmas present in the Huffington Post refers to him as America's holidays expert, and we have him here. Christopher Radko, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Or should I say ho, ho, ho?
Oh. Well, what did you think of all that we said?
Wow, that's pretty good. I remember the first time I went to L.A., Pasadena to be precise, and it was December, and everyone was running around in shorts and T-shirts, and the palm trees indeed were swaying, and it was maybe 87 degrees, and I couldn't believe it was December, and I wondered, having grown up on the East Coast around New York and having four full seasons, I couldn't figure out how people got in the Christmas spirit in California in December when it's so hot outside. I mean, where's the snow? And the reindeer and the sleighs, that's not a tradition. I mean, that can't really be there. So it was certainly one of the things that I guess, you know, triggered my asking myself, you know, how can one keep Christmas in other ways and other places, and does it have to just be on one day a year, or can it be any time of the year? Like you said, when you sent those cards out, I think that's such a cool thing to do, I having been in the commercial aspect of Christmas, I don't do that anymore. I sold my company about 5 years ago. But having been in the commercial aspect of it for, you know, about a quarter of a century, I got to see it from the money making side, but also by choice I got to make it a spiritual thing too, and to share that vision or that heart, if you will, for Christmas. So,
you know,
anyway,
actually,
you're the one who's asking the question, so please don't
I would love if you share.
Ask away. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I would love it if you shared that heart and that vision of Christmas with us when we come back here on the show after this. We are talking to Christopher Radko, who's in New York, and we are live from the Joint Studios. And if you go to thejointstudios.com, unfortunately, you won't see Christopher, at least not today, but you'll see Mark and I at thejointstudios.com, or you can always listen to us at lifechangesnetwork.com. We'll be right back with Christopher Radko right after this.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
It sure is, and this is Filippo here live from the Joint Studios in Burbank, California, and our guest today is in New York, is Christopher Radko, and we're going to be talking about his new venture in a little bit, but before we do that, I'm just want to do a shout out to his website. Wild Lavender by Chris Radko is what we'll be talking about, the Wild Lavender Collection. So you can go to Radko, spelled R-A-D-K-O, Hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N, organics.com. That's organics with an S. RadkoHudsonOrganics.com, and we're going to tell you more about that when we talk to Christopher more about that. But Christopher, before we get into that, I'd love to know how you got into ornaments.
Great question. How did I get into ornaments? I think the ornaments got into me and kind of in a very unexpected way. When I was a kid, I kind of saw that my parents didn't have the world's greatest marriage, and in fact, they fought a lot. And during the holidays, that seemed to be the one time of year, curiously, that they seemed to call a truce, where they kind of made some sort of an effort to be nicer to each other. And but in any case, I found myself gravitating towards the Christmas tree as kind of a safe zone, if you will, kind of a magical, sparkly, you know, almost other universe. So I'd come home from school and I'd do my homework under the lights of the Christmas trees, and you know, I was, of course, not 6'4" back then. I was maybe, you know, 3 feet tall or something. I could fit underneath the tree, and I would stare up at the blinking bubble lights and the shiny glass ornaments, and kind of daydream and get lost in that sparkle and magic. And, you know, of course, with Christmas music playing and maybe, you know, the smell of something good baking, you know, coming out of the kitchen, it kind of transported me, especially in those shorter days, you know, where it gets dark at 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon here on the East Coast.
Right.
And so I guess I kind of carried that love of, you know, the sparkle, the colors, the heightened feel that the house took on during the holidays. You know, people came over, you celebrated more, you got to see people you didn't see that often, friends would come over. It just seemed to be kind of more festive than other parts of the year. And, I mean, like, I remember the lights reflecting off the walls. I mean, just like rainbows. It's kind of trippy, you know, without...
Psychedelic,
without
even.
Drugs, you know. And so, you know, many years later, I got assigned the task of decorating the family tree, since I seemed to like it so much. And I would always get a fresh tree and as big a tree as I could, you know, fit on top of my car and drag it home and decorate. And each year we seemed to add more and more ornaments, until one point when I was in my early 20s, I decided to buy a new tree stand. I was tired of using the old tree stand. It was rusted. It had a lot of old tree sap on it. So I figured I'll go to the nursery, the garden shop, and buy a shiny new aluminum, you know, tree stand, one of those bright red and green ones. And, you know, it was great. And I loaded up the tree in it and decorated it. And, you know, it took quite a long time to decorate the tree because by then it was 12 feet tall. I also had to get one that was taller than me each year. So this one was 12 feet tall, it was loaded, just groaning with, you know, hundreds, if not a couple thousand ornaments by then. And
wow.
I guess, you know, about 2 or 3 days into the tree being up, so this is probably, you know, December 10th or so, an accident happened. One of the legs to this tree stand cracked, and the entire tree listed forward and actually came tumbling down. And the weight of the tree caused, I would say, 95% of our family's ornaments to shatter. And people were in the kitchen. My grandmother was still alive, my mom, just relatives and stuff, and they all kind of heard this shattering, and they rushed to the living room, and they said, "What happened? What happened? And I said, "Well, I don't know. The tree fell over, you know." And my grandmother kind of looked at me, and she was a pretty stern person, and she said, "Oh, Christopher, you ruined Christmas forever now."
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, that's kind of, you know, that guilt that you know. But, I mean, for everyone in my family, there were stories behind each ornament, you know. Everyone had their favorite designs. There were ornaments that my grandmother had back in 1905 when she was 5 years old, or ornaments when my mom was born in, you know, 1927, or when my parents got married or whatever. And even I had some of my favorite ornaments, and unfortunately they all shattered, and it seemed like, in a sense, we lost those tangible connections to memories of, you know, maybe sweetened memories of the past. And, you know, so I went looking for replacement ornaments, and this was the mid-1980s, and, you know, I tried all the major department stores here in New York City and, you know, local stores maybe in Boston or Philadelphia, and I couldn't find anything. There was just all the better glass ornaments were gone, and, you know, pretty much everything was plastic or styrofoam or those little bead craft kits where you, you know, get these styrofoam balls that were kind of wrapped in satin and decorate them with beads and pearls and stuff like that. But, you know, or you could buy the boxes of, you know, shiny red ornaments, you know, a dozen to, you know, to a box for, you know, $1.99 in Woolworths. But that was pretty much it, you know. And it wasn't until I was visiting some family in Eastern Europe, in Poland, the following spring that a distant cousin said, "Hey, I got this letter from your grandmother. She says you ruined Christmas forever." I said, "Well, I don't know, but, you know, that's the kind of gist of it, you know, because you can't get these glass ornaments anymore." And this cousin said, "Well, we still have them here in Europe, but, you know, if you want, we'll send you a care package, you know, and come Christmas, and, you know, you can kind of make up with the family." And even though this was like April or so, I said, "You know, I don't want to wait all year, you know, I don't want to live with this guilt and have people talking about how I, you know, ruined Christmas for, you know, all these months." So we went looking for glass blowers and painters who you know, still kept that kind of old glass blowing tradition alive. And so I found myself coming home with some ornaments that I provided the glassblower sketches for, and when I brought them home with me to New York, my friend said, "Gee, where'd you get these glass ornaments? Who's making glass ornaments? You know, can you get some for us?" And I said, "Well, okay, I will." And so, just as a hobby, I started selling them on my lunch hour. I had a regular job. I was working for a talent agency in the city in their mailroom, so it didn't pay very well, and I figured, well, I'm going to supplement my income by selling Christmas ornaments. And it took off. I found myself selling a lot of them and creating new ones and having fun with it. And before I knew it, I left my regular job and became a Christmas entrepreneur. And that was, you know, close to 30 years ago, but it sure changed my life.
That's a great story. From quote unquote ruining Christmas, you've made the Christmas of so many people. Yeah. Exactly.
From ruining to improving Christmas.
Life gave you lemons and you made ornaments.
That's definitely, you know, some good sweetness came out of it. You know, for me, too, it got me situated, you know, in life. I got to travel. I got to meet, you know, thousands of wonderful people and fascinating people. And with the ornaments, I was able to kind of, I guess, bring back memories that people had when they were kids, too, and also create really beautifully made objects. I mean, each ornament took 7 days to make. They're mouth blown, they're hand painted, they're silvered on the inside with real sterling silver, and you know, so that kind of degree of beauty made it for people to, you know, to cherish them. And even today, as people buy them, they say, "Wow, you know, I got this with my daughter. We shared that holiday together. Or we got this when we were traveling, and you know, or this we got when we were married." And so I know families are creating new memories and new heartfelt connections that the ornaments help contain, and that makes me feel good. And so I'm kind of glad I've, you know, done that. You know, the ornaments will outlive me, but in the meanwhile, I've got a lot more in me.
Ornaments will outlive you unless somebody's Christmas stand leg gives, and then they'll fall.
True.
Isn't that a horrible thing to say? I would have thought you would have made them out of rubber, so that the Christmas tree would fall and they would just bounce back.
Well, you know, kind of. The next best thing, I mean, in the sense that the old-time ornaments were made out of very inexpensive glass, and by contrast, my ornaments were made from Pyrex glass. So they really, I mean, as far as glass goes, they're pretty solid.
Mm. You know, Christopher, in the next couple minutes we have left, and it's not a lot of time, at least for this particular subject, because it's so big, but...
Yeah.
You helped me actually in a conversation about holidays, and shared with me your thoughts, your spirit of holidays in general, and why you thought they were important. Can you net it out for us?
Sure. Holidays. I love all holidays, and so I actually created ornaments for every holiday. You know, from New Year's to 4th of July to Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Halloween and even Easter. I mean, every single, you know, bridal, birthdays, you name it. For me, holidays are about connection. It's a kind of a legit time in our Western society where you can, if you choose, but it's legitimized so you're allowed to, you know, kind of rethink what you're doing that day and maybe do something fun with friends and people you care about. It's a chance to break away from the daily grind, from those other days of the year where it's just, you know, rat race time and we're trying to, you know, get enough money to pay our rent or our car payments or whatever, and like say, okay, I'm going to like get off this treadmill, you know, for today or a couple days or a weekend and celebrate. You know, I'll heighten my house with decorations. I'll create something fun, you know, in the kitchen, you know, some good food. I'll break open a couple bottles of wine and have friends over and just celebrate friendship and love and companionship and community and reasons that are more, I think, sustainable for living than you know, what you guys referred to earlier, which are, you know, kind of sadly the commercialized version, which it doesn't feed your heart. It doesn't feed your soul. And it creates a lot of pressure for people. And it can turn people off to holidays or to Christmas when it's all about commercial pressure. But I think in as much as we can use holidays as maybe just a guidepost for spreading that feeling all through the year, that to me is the real purpose of holidays. It's like, okay, you had a taste of it on December 25th or, I don't know, Valentine's Day or whatever. How can you live that in other parts of the year? How can you live Christmas or any other holiday? I guess it's about keeping your heart open to people and being compassionate and, you know, all those good things that you think of that you'd like to feel on Christmas Day, you know, you can't always force it into one day. It's almost fake if you try to. I think Christmas Day, in a sense, is more symbolic of that spirit, that ethos, that, you know, if you're looking at it from a spiritual side, you know, that light of Christ, how do you keep that awake in you all year long? You know, the light of the universe, the light of Buddha or Krishna or whatever, you know, divine source, you know, inspires you. Let that life, that light shine from you, shine forth every day of the year. And then, you know, then Christmas is no longer the gift you give at Christmas, but it's really how you live it. You know, it's the Christmas things you do, like the song goes, all year long. And that's my perspective.
I like that perspective. And you netted it out in exactly the time that we needed it. So thank you. I love that perspective. And I actually have something that I want to share about it, but I'll have to wait until we come back. Since you were so good in keeping it in time, I'm going to honor that as well. And remind everybody that when we come back, we're going to talk about what I said we're going to talk about, and also the Wild Lavender Collection by Christopher Radko, which you'll find at RadkoHudsonOrganics.com, R-A-D-K-O, Hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N, Organics, with an S, .com. And we'll be right back here live from the joint studios in Burbank. It's Life Changes Network.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
And we're back, and we are talking to Christopher Radko. I'm here with our co-host, Mark LeJour, and our producer, Dorothy Donahue. And we're having a great time. We're laughing at these stories. That story, Christopher, you ruining Christmas. I mean that.
Once upon a time stories.
Great story. You're a great storyteller, actually. And I know you have a lot of other great stories. And I have to say, what I was thinking when you were sharing about the holidays and in this last segment, I was thinking of what I decided at one point is that I wouldn't do Christmas or I would be with my family, but I wouldn't do gifts. It's not like I would sit there with my arms crossed and said, I'm not doing this. I would show up, and I would say, I'm not doing gifts. And first I said I was gonna give everybody the gift of time. Like, I would buy theater tickets for everybody in the family, and we'd all go to the theater together and support the arts and see something creative and that kind of thing. And then one year I bought toys and games so that we could all have fun together for everybody. But then I stopped and I thought, you know what? Why, if I'm buying something during the holidays, as because I'm forced to, it has to be now. What if I just bought something for somebody when I saw it? And what if I just gave it to them then instead of waiting for Christmas? What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a terrible idea. I think you need to shop discounts December 24th, you know, till like 3 in the morning. I think the day of Thanksgiving, you should like ditch the table, get in your car, and go to those, you know, door blaster events, you know, that start at like 4 in the afternoon and be there till 3 in the morning shopping your head off. I mean, that's the American way.
I
think for a lot of people, more and more than I care to even count. But you know, if that's not the choice you want to make, then I like the decorating part of Christmas. I like the colors. I like the movement of of greenery and the historical, you know, themes, you know, holly and ivy and mistletoe. I love old carols. I like, you know, strange, you know, desserts with quince and cardamom and, you know, spices and strange fruits, and you know, so I do savor the traditions that can be explored or shared in December. But I'm with you. I mean, if your family's experience is just a lot of pressure of exchanging gifts that get exchanged the next day, you know, you're like trapped in that rat race. There's no Christmas there. I don't know what it is. It's kind of this weird commercial frenzy. But it's not Christmas. You know, Christmas is, for me, I mean, in my experience, the essence of Christmas or any holiday. It's heart. It's how you express your heart. I call it Christmas. You know, you can call it something else. You can just call it love. I mean, you know, why even call it Christmas if you know, not everyone can connect or relate to that word, or they think it means you have to go to church on Sunday or something like that. And you know, you can, but you don't have to. And for many people, it's not part of the experience. So I think that in thinking of someone outside of yourself and doing something for them, maybe making something for them, maybe, like you said, spending time with them, doing something fun with them that neither of you have ever done before, anything that is kind of different from the run of the mill, is pretty magical. And it's when you're alive with someone, as opposed to kind of repeating the same verses over and over again. And that's a form of Christmas. It's when you're like living alive, like really alive in every, you know, cell of your body, and sharing that with people that reflect that, you know, back to you and with you, and that, you know, I can't, together it becomes almost a kind of a warm and yet fireworky experience. So, I mean, you might spend it with your family, with friends from high school, or with you know, folks at work or whatever. But I to answer your question, because I know I'm I'm tracking it out. Sorry. Yeah, do that some other. Do it when it feels, when it speaks to your heart, and you can almost. I think you can fairly explain to someone. It's like, you know, it's September 3rd. I'm giving you this gift today because in my heart, I'm kind of feeling Christmassy today. And you know, I don't want this to get lost in the craziness of December 25th. So I want to share this with you today. And you're important to me, not just on Christmas, and then I forget about you the other part of the year, but like, you're important to me even in September or in July or in June. And so let's have Christmas today as well, and maybe tomorrow too. And we don't even have to call it Christmas. Let's just call it love. I mean, let's just kind of stay open-hearted, and that's pretty magical. I mean, if everyone could do that, it would be, wouldn't that be like fulfilling Christmas? I think it could.
Chris, sir, I'm going to jump in, because that's a little bit of what I was alluding to at the opening of the show, and I'm so glad that you expanded on it and talked more about it. I really think that, you know, we as a society, forget the consumerism part of it, but we've become so, even in the original description, we've become so accepting and programmed that, okay, we're in the daily grind, and then we step out of that for the holiday. And you know, all of the things that you mentioned that Christmas is to you, and what you do on that day, what how to relate to family members, how to share, how to live in the heart, and to think and act and create, make things for each other, make decorations, all those things, every single one of those could be done every day. And we get, we've almost rationalized ourselves out of being creative. And creative in our home, in the way we decorate, in the way we relate, whether it's our kids or families or neighborhood. You know, when I first moved to L.A., I used to be stunned at running through Beverly Hills, and you could run for days and not see a human being unless they're being picked up or dropped off by a black car or you know. There was no interaction. There was no relating. And I know that's a little bit of a microcosm, and certainly isn't the rest of the world, but I know there's enough of that at various levels across various neighborhoods all over the world. Or there's the flip side of that, where people are so disconnected from that creativity because they're just trying to survive every day. So, and in even there is, you know, a need to kind of reprogram and understand how to relate and hug and as you're saying, live in that loving place, and you can almost feed each other that way.
I so agree with you, and what you're talking about is such a pertinent kind of broad collection of topics. You know, the lack of connection in our society, connection with each other, the lack of connection to our creative selves, owning and celebrating our creativity. The lack of connection to nature, you know, I think that all is masked, or we kind of medicate ourselves with consumer pursuits. More clothes, more toys, you know, more electronic toys, whatever that is, it doesn't seem to necessarily open our hearts to connecting with each other or to sense our oneness with our natural environment, or to incite us to be creative on our own. And I'll try not to diverge too much, but, you know, a lot of times I'll see on Facebook or, you know, these kind of fun, you know, quirky messages about, you know, when I was a kid back in the 60s, you know, we didn't need computer games to play. We went outside and saw each other on the front lawn, and we made up our own games. And, you know, it's kind of a corny thing, but I got to tell you, it's true. You know, I think kids were more creative even in the 1960s than they are today because they made up their own games.
You're telling me kick the cans a lot different than Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different...
Yeah.
So I think in as much as the people start to choose a little bit differently and say, I mean, celebration is an act of creation. It's an act of bringing light to focus on a moment in a shared experience, and I mean shared, you know, because that's what makes it so much fun. I mean, I can celebrate by myself in a room, but I'd much rather celebrate with 50 people in a room, you know, who I love, you know, and preferably with a great big bottle of vodka or something. But it's celebration is creation, and the how you keep a holiday is a creative act, and it doesn't have to involve commercialism, and it doesn't have to be on that one day. But I think that's what we have in the calendar. We have that one day here or there, and so I would suggest taking that day as a symbolic, a symbol, if you will, of what could be or probably would improve the quality of our lives if we kind of breathe life into it every day. The Christmas Day is a sampler. It's not what you live off of. It's just a sample of something, and how you express it all year determines if you've really kept Christmas or not. If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. It's very well said, actually, and something that needed to be said, damn it. And I'm glad, you
said. But it's fun. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, I know how I feel about these things, but the thing about holidays is they're fun. I mean,
You look at it that way, yeah.
Yeah. Fun every, I mean, it's potential fun to be had every day of the year. You know, take the good food, take the friendship, take the decorative aspects and blow it all through the year, you know, and have fun. Don't limit it to one day. In fact, that might be the day that you might, because it's so crazy, just run away from it all, but then you come back to living, you know, and like, okay, the one day I don't keep Christmas is Christmas, and then every other day I do keep Christmas. How about that?
I like that. I like it. We'll do opposite. We'll do Christmas 363 days of the year, and on Christmas Day we'll pretend we don't like each other or something.
No, that's when we kind of, you know, hide or something, you know. Yeah. Hide from the crazy shopping mall people.
Christopher, very well said. Thank you for saying it, and on our show for that matter. Talk about connection to nature, and talk about things that make people feel good on so many levels. I'm trying to see the connection here. I have a feeling, much like your previous company and products, that this Wild Lavender Collection is going to touch people, at least I hope, in a different way. I mean, I would love to see lavender be something in everybody's home, because I have a feeling, especially now knowing you more, that there's something to lavender that we don't know. Could you share what's this new venture of yours and why we need to know about it?
Sure. Because, you know, to your earlier point, a lot people wonder, like, how did you go from being Mr. Christmas to, like, Mr. Lavender? I mean, I don't get it, you know?
And you said, well, I dream in lavender.
I dream in lavender. Yes, 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 yes. Just to kind of close up the whole Christmas thing, for me, a Christmas tree is a palette. It's a palette that you can decorate with whatever you want. It can be your kids, you know, baby socks or little cotton ball snowmen you made in kindergarten. Anything you want. It's kind of this unlimited palette to express, you know, your creativity. It certainly doesn't have to be with the ornaments I used to make. The tree itself has, for many centuries, been considered kind of magical, you know, long before even Christianity came on the scene, simply because a Christmas tree was an evergreen, and it somehow stayed green and retained its leaves or needles, if you will, even in the cold, dark days of winter. The ornaments themselves, for me, are containers of magic, and I do my best to when I design them and when I've created them, to program them in that way, you know, all, in a sense, really giving them instructions. They're in, you don't see them, but
wow.
they're encoded in the ornaments. And they're meant to bring joy to people. They're meant to bring a smile to people's faces. They were also very effective as charity tools. So I created ornaments for AIDS research or breast cancer research or pediatric cancer. You know, when Elizabeth Taylor was alive, I created one for her foundation, raised, you know, tens of thousands of dollars from one little ornament. Also for Elton John Foundation. So, I mean, there are ways that these physical objects also went that extra step, if you will, of raising money for really, really good causes. So it wasn't just make a pretty snowman, you know. But leading in, you know, so I sold my company, took some time off. I love nature. I mean, and I love piney wood. So, of course, I love Christmas trees. But I love nature, I like gardening, and I had the opportunity to explore being a gentleman farmer, and so kind of reconnecting to the love of this little simple lavender flower that I discovered when I was a kid in the Bronx Botanical Garden, of all places, this little purple flower that smelled so great. I thought, well, what would it be like to plant a whole field of this lavender? And just as a lark, I did. And then just relished walking through this purple field and listening to the bees and feeling the sun in my face and the scent of the lavender oil, kind of like this amazing aromatherapy all around me. And I got to thinking, how, you know, what does this mean to me, and how can I share it with others? So I, you know, ended up planting more and more lavender, and I actually grow this lavender in Poland. It's true seed grown, you know, it's French and English lavender. It's the same kind that's been grown, you know, around the Mediterranean for a couple thousand years. So it's not GMO, it's not clonal lavender, it's none of that, you know, stuff. And what I do is I distill the plants for the oil, and then I create a collection of lavender products, soaps and lotions and bath oil and bath salts and aromatherapy oil and stuff like that that people can use at home to enjoy the scent of lavender. And I should mention, the charity side of this is that because my parents were doctors, I'm donating 10% of my profits to Doctors Without Borders. So that's, you know, kind of my way of giving back and supporting what I think is a really cool cause, you know, the work that doctors do all over the world, you know, in war-torn countries, especially with kids. So the lavender, you know, does that as well. But it's a real ancient oil. I mean, the pharaohs used it. It's an adaptogen, which means that if you're feeling depressed, it will lift up your spirits. Or if you're feeling frazzled, it'll calm you down and balance you and center you. It's kind of the plant is a living consciousness, and it has a mission, and the mission is to assist humans with, you know, getting centered and grounded in a healthy way.
That's good to know.
It's antiviral. So it's kind of a Swiss Army knife in your medicine chest, a Swiss Army knife, I should say, of all, you know, essential oils. It's very healing. It's a great thing, and I'm so excited to be part of it. I love the color purple. It's kind of a high vibration color.
Yeah.
I like dressing, you know, with purple. Purple's the in color for men's clothing. I was in Italy this past spring, and all the men's clothing stores had, you know, purple shirts and ties and belts and handkerchiefs and stuff like that. Not just like great purple, but like lavender and lilac, you know, lighter shades as well. But people
well,
are tuning into that right now.
I don't know if you're looking at us right now at the studio, the jointstudio.com, but I'm wearing purple. Lavender is my
yay! no, my laptop is out, but thank you for doing that. So these are products made with a lot of integrity. The oil is organically grown. It's certified, of course. This is the start of something great. I hope to expand the lavender collection. It's soaps and lotions and massage oil and candles and essential oil and bath salts, but eventually I'll do a baby's collection, I'll do a pet collection, I'll do a gourmet collection, everything all lavender related. And I'll see where that takes me. It'll certainly get me in nature, and that's a great place to be. And walking in a lavender field is amazing. And for folks on the West Coast, they can go up to the Pacific Northwest and walk through those lavender fields as well. It's just it's a heady experience, and I recommend it. It's a humble herb. I mean, it only grows like 11 or 12 inches tall, but it does so much for us. You know, the oil. It's amazing stuff. I love it for myself, so I'm happy to share it with people, and I hope people will enjoy it as much as I do.
Well, I'm glad you are. And speaking of people enjoying it, we've been giving the website radcohudsonorganics.com, and
yay.
I was looking at the products while you were talking, and I noticed that you can't actually buy them on the website. So where can you actually buy them?
Right. Well, I actually just introduced the collection at the Atlanta gift show this summer, so we have not started shipping yet. Everything's made fresh, because all the ingredients are perishable and they don't last forever. They only have a 2-year shelf life. So we're making everything fresh, and we're going to ship it to the stores this fall. So it'll be in spas, primarily in spas, but gift stores as well. All over the country. But what I can say is that if anyone has a favorite spa or store near them that they would like to see the lavender products at, all they have to do is just drop me a note, on my website, and I'll reach out to that store and, see if they're interested in carrying the collection.
And make them an offer they can't refuse.
Well, I'll tell you, once they see this lavender, once they try it, they'll be so
amazed.
They
won't refuse. That's what I mean.
Yeah, the thing about my lavender that I should point out is that it's about 85% of all lavender products in America are hybrid lavender, which means that it comes from sterile plants that are cloned. And that's not true lavender. It's not the kind that's been around for thousands of years, and it doesn't even produce seeds, so what does that tell you? And it's very high in camphor, which means if you put it on your skin, it'll burn. I'm just saying that in contrast because my lavender is true lavender. It's the sweet kind of perfume and medicinal grade that's been around for centuries. It's seed grown, and you can put it on your skin and won't burn it. So that's it's safer that way too, and smells better too. It's a sweeter scent.
Well, Christopher, that's fascinating. I didn't know. I'm going to look into lavender more, and then I'm going to be looking for the products when they come out this fall. Reminding everybody to go to radcohudsonorganics.com. Maybe you'll let everybody know there what the retailers are where they can get them. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh. Okay. Well, with that, we've come to the end of our segments together. Is there anything that you'd quickly want to add before we say goodbye for now?
Well, what do I want to add? I want to add that I think your show is really terrific. I think you guys do a wonderful job. And I want to thank you both for bringing a lot of terrific guests on and kind of sharing thoughts and inspiration about, life changing is actually life living, and that's a good thing. So on that note, if you feel like calling me up again, you're more than welcome to do so in the future.
Okay, well, actually, I'm going to be seeing you at the Sergio Franchi event on August 24th in Connecticut, right?
Yay! Okay. I'm writing that down right now.
Okay. I was just talking to her today, Ava Franke, and she says, "Do you talk about my show on your radio show?" And I said, "I will tomorrow, today." So that gave me an excuse to say it. So hopefully I will see you there. But we'll talk before then.
And La Dolce Vita.
And living La Dolce Vita, exactly. You're welcome to hang on and listen to our producer's wrap. Mark and I are going to be discussing a bit about the show and You're welcome to hang on until the end. It'll be about 10 minutes from now. Otherwise, we can say goodbye now, and we'll connect later. In the meantime, we want to thank our guest, Christopher Radko, and remind you to go to RadkoHudsonOrganics.com. And we'll be back here live from the Joint Studios in Burbank with our producer's wrap with Mark Leisure and myself right after this.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org or telephone 323-592-3181. Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
We're back. This is Life Changes with Filippo and friends, and my friend sitting right next to me. Actually, I feel like I had a friend on the phone today.
Friends all around.
Yeah, that was fun.
Change the name to Filippo and friends.
and I think we're heading in that direction. If we could be calling each other all friends, we've got some pretty cool friends. It's so interesting to find a man that I didn't know until January, I knew of him, but to hear him talk so similar to so many of the conversations we've had, it's like, wow, clear across the planet, at least the country, there are people that are thinking these thoughts.
I think there's more people than we know that are thinking these thoughts, and that's exactly the point.
Is why we're doing this.
People are afraid of talking about it. They're afraid to talk about, the putting the energy into the ornaments, things of that nature that so many people do. You get into a lot of historical products and people are really passionate when they're made from the family that they did these little things. They put love into their products, into their creations, et cetera, et cetera. And they didn't feel either the need to talk about it or it wasn't commercially acceptable, so they wouldn't talk about it.
Right.
But I wondered, if there's a way to analyze what products were successful versus not. I'll bet you
in history,
a lot more of those products were the ones that they were putting a little bit extra love or had their little routine, that they would do behind the scenes that nobody ever saw.
That's interesting. People have every reason to be afraid to talk about this stuff, because I was afraid and for good reason. And because I knew what the reaction would be. And sometimes, little by little, I just started to talk. And it didn't matter. And maybe I was a little, I didn't know how to talk about this, but I talked about it with friends and I got beaten up. Not physically, but by little old ladies. It's like, Jesus, this. And it's good. It's just like, you're a Jesus hater. Or I said, no, I'm not. It's like, you hate Christmas or you hate tradition. It's like, I don't hate tradition. I think tradition is great if it's serving you. I think we lost the context of the tradition.
Lost context, period. There's something they call cognitive dissonance, which is the actual physical reaction that you have if something doesn't agree with your belief system. We've been so significantly programmed by television and radio and repetition and music and endorsements that so many things that are like this discussion that get back to the basics and back to love and back to sharing and back to connecting, which is you know, triggers cognitive dissonance because it is different than the belief systems which we've been programmed with in terms of buying habits, what traditions have become as opposed to what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest thing, is that there is this complete disconnect from heart, and now we're starting to wake up to that. More and more people want to have this discussion.
You know, speaking of which, my mother said something peculiar a couple Christmases ago. She said, you know, even in Italy, this gift-buying thing has become a big deal, and they're starting to get over it. Like, they're starting to hate it. And I said, what do you mean, even in Italy? Didn't they used to give gifts when you were a kid? And she said, no, this is a new thing. Even when she left Italy and she was in her 20s, they still didn't do gifts. She said it just had kind of started. But she said, we used to cook foods and we used to, you know, make candies, and that was a big deal for us. And we were happy. And the people that she's talking to that are saying, oh, we're so fed up with this, say we were happier when.
The best memories I have of the holidays were not the gifts in the opening. And there was a few moments of that because of the lead up and the programming of what Christmas is and the waiting and of course, the fact that I had found them months before, I knew exactly what
and
they were.
And you couldn't wait to actually use them.
But beyond that were the moments where I would sit at the fireplace with my back against the fire and listen to my dad tell stories and wrestle with my brothers and you know, things of that nature. And so all of that had nothing to do with gifts. It was really about sharing and connecting. And in fact, it's even more so. It was so obvious to me that the hypocrisy of the holiday and the stress and watching the stress of my parents try to manage through this and where we have to be and how we're supposed to act and everything else, and that's supposed to be fun and that's supposed to be the spirit, and it was so obvious the disconnect between the gift tradition versus when we finally did. Okay, we're knowing that now we can connect for a while, and that's where the magic happens.
You know, it's funny, as you're saying this, I was thinking two things. Number one is, I used to like the Christmas tree too, actually. I loved the whole fantasy of it and the creativity. I did just like Christopher, and I used to sit under the Christmas tree and do my homework as well, so I thought that was interesting.
Good thing it didn't fall over. Like,
it didn't fall over. I never ruined Christmas. But then maybe if I had, I might have created something wonderful too around Christmas. Who knows? But I kind of got fed up. You know, I probably told Christopher the worst thing you could tell Mr. Christmas or the Czar of Christmas present. I said to him, I don't even have an ornament anymore. I don't think I even have one. I stopped putting up a tree. I just got fed up with all of that. And listening to him talk about it, in the way that he's talking, kind of makes me think I could probably do a tree again because it's a different.
I'm pretty happy with my Charlie Brown.
You have a Charlie Brown tree. That's right. I have a Charlie Brown tree. I do put that.
But yeah, I agree. And what's funny that we're talking about this, because the version of his story that happened in our family is my cousin had a Christmas tree light on fire.
Ooh.
And blew up and went through the window and took half the house with it.
Wow. Wow.
And even in that moment, the discussion that seemed more powerful in that to me was that everybody was okay.
Yeah.
And it wasn't to everybody. Everybody had different perspectives on what was gained or lost in that moment. And then to kind of watch that, I remember even as a kid watching this kind of dance of awareness and awakening as people were trying to figure out what was important as to what burnt down, or the gifts were lost, or the tree, and the electrical, now we got to repair the house, and everybody was alive. That seemed pretty cool.
I like that. Well, and so the other thing that it reminded me of what you were saying before, that kind of correlates with everybody's alive, or is actually the opposite. Christopher's part Polish, I guess. And he, in Poland, he didn't tell me this, but a friend of mine told me, who's also Polish, they have a tradition of, they have a piece of bread or something that they share around the Christmas table, And I don't know if they're supposed to pick a piece and give it to somebody, or each is supposed to, like, everybody has to have a piece of this bread or something like that, and you have to share it or something. And this Polish friend of mine said one time, he said, you know, it's really interesting to watch all these people that up until an hour before this were all fighting and yelling, as you should have done this year, and you never contributed, and you didn't pay for anything, whatever. And now they're all sitting down trying to share this piece of bread. And he said it was really interesting to watch. And he's like, I don't even know if I want to eat it, because all the negative energy that has gone into this bread as they're picking it apart. He's like, he didn't pay for the bread. And it's just like, and this is Christmas. No, it's not. It's not Christmas like that. Can't do that. No, not anymore. Well, we won't do it anymore now that we've learned how to do Christmas from
every day.
Yeah,
every day.
Exactly. So with that, what more can one say? But
Merry Christmas.
So with that, it's August 5th, and I'm feeling a little Christmas, thanks to our guest today, Christopher Radko, to whom we are very grateful. We're feeling a little Christmas. So Merry Christmas to all of you, and to you, Mark, and Dorothy, our producer. And I am Filippo, reminding you, as life changes or as Christmas happens, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.